see everybody out. Hope that everybody's been encouraged so far as we've gone through the service. Just singing the hymn we have just sung, I think it should uplifted us all as we consider the thought that our life is short upon this earth, and it won't be long until we can have an eternity life with our Lord, with our God. I know sometimes we can sit there and think about that and think it can be scary when we start dwelling upon a short life and we start dwelling upon how much more time we might have upon this earth with friends and family. But as we consider what's at the end, it should give us joy and a happy thought. And so hope everybody is uplifted as we've already gone through part of our worship to our Lord and being here with one another. What I want to talk about this morning is what to be excited about as a Christian. There's things within the Word of God that we should look forward to, that we should be excited about as a child of God, as a Christian, of life, become a Christian, of continuing to live as a Christian, things that in which we can look at and see that it shows that there are just good points about it that should excite us. And before we get into the lesson on that and opening up our Bibles and looking into it, you know, in that point of what does get you excited? You know, sitting there, everybody has different things that they're excited about, that they look forward to. You know, as parents, you may look forward to that certain things with your children, them graduating, that point of helping them and their achievements. As, you know, if you're dating somebody, you're looking forward to that wedding. You're looking forward to marriage, that excitement. You look forward to that day. Right now, everybody's excited and looking forward to Christmas and getting gifts and presents under the tree. And everybody looks forward to certain things. You look forward to a vacation. You know, and we have things that excite us. Things in which we get excited about, things in which we are happy and easily talk about certain things. You may be able to talk about sports, you may be able to talk about cars, whatever you desire and have an interest in, artwork or drawings or reading and books. Everybody has certain things that they get excited about. That when they see someone else has the same pique of interest, that you're able to sit there and the two are able to have a good conversation. There's many things in which should excite us as a Christian. I want to talk about a few of them this morning. First thing I want to talk about is that if you're someone who enjoys learning, you're someone who enjoys having knowledge, you enjoy researching, you enjoy studying, and you enjoy gaining knowledge and becoming the smartest person that you can become. And maybe it's just certain subjects that you love to learn about. You can't get enough of learning about vehicles. You can't get enough of learning about art or learning about history or learning about geography or whatever it is that you enjoy, just you learn. I'm telling you now, if you are a Bible studier, there's always learning to be done. As a Christian, there's always learning to grow on. There's always something new to study. There's never an ending point as a student of the Bible. There's never an ending point as a student of the Bible. Because as we brought out time and again, as we go through our class, as we study with one another, how many times we go through something, I never recall noticing that point before. Or I never seen that perspective that someone else brought out in this point of view and how this might apply. It makes you rethink certain things. There's so much. Every time you study the Word of God, there's so much to learn. And when we consider it, you might sit down and you say, if I could sit down and pick one person's brain, If I could, you know, you have that person in mind that maybe knows so much and has started, you know, the certain drawings or art or history or the history of our land. If I could sit down and just pick that person's brain. You know, often I hear other preachers say that when you have a gospel meeting, they'll get down and they'll say, hey, if you get time, you have him over to help pick his brain. He's one that's got a lot of knowledge there. You learn from what he's got. Take advantage of that opportunity. And what we're studying is the Word of God. We're looking at the wisest of the wise. Here in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Matthew 12 And in verse 42, it says, the queen of the south will rise up at judgment with the generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Here he brings out greater, one wiser than King Solomon. And look how far she was willing to go. She was willing to travel the world and come to him just to hear him speak, just to hear and see the wisdom he had. It was known throughout the world, and they were willing to travel the distance. They were willing to bring great treasures just to learn, just to hear someone so smart. And here Jesus says, one greater, one wiser than Solomon. And yet you guys will not listen to the Lord. If you're someone who likes to learn, and you got a subject that you like to study, Jesus, if we are Christians, as a student of the Bible, we have a lot to learn. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25, it says, for the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And again, we can look to what we've kind of studying and talking about at the end of our class this morning and getting caught up, and we try to figure out, well, possibly it could have been this route that took place, but this is what the Word of God says. And we take the Word of God seriously, and what it says we take for what it means. And therefore, when we get caught up and we start questioning things, and then we come to this here, God is wiser than we are. We have to take God at His Word. We have to trust in our God. We have to learn from Him. Because there's so many times that people get caught up and then they're reading things, or we start teaching about the Bible, and we teach about what we do here as we come together and worship. People don't quite understand, well, why do you do that? Why is baptism necessary? Why can't we have instrumental music? Why can't you do these certain things? It's about looking to God. There's a reason God designed it this way. There's a reason God has commanded us to do what we are commanded to do. We always have a direct answer. It's in the Word of God. We put our faith and trust in Him and learn from the wisest there is, because His foolishness is still wiser than your wisdom. And all the knowledge that you could go out and gain, and you could get as many doctrines and degrees that you want, you'll never be wiser than our Lord. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17. As it reads here and says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The Word of God, the Bible, is given to us directly from our God. Again, if you had the opportunity to sit and learn from somebody, and you have, if I could get with that one person, because I know that it is said that they're the smartest person in that subject that you love, and you love studying, or you just want to be able to sit and talk about that. As a student of the Bible, as a Christian, God is the one we want to sit down and talk to. God is the one that we want to learn from. God has given it to us right here. Open up your Bible and study. That should excite us that we won't ever stop learning as a Christian if you're willing to continue to always study, continue to always be praying. There's always room to grow as a Christian. Another thing that we can get excited about is if you're competitive. If you're competitive, you can be competitive as a Christian. And I can tell you, I know there's some people here who are competitive. I know as I played sports, it's very competitive, always enjoyed sports. Casey don't like playing sports with me because she says I'm too competitive. I tell her, there's been times that I don't say anything. She says I still give her a look or something. I don't know what she's talking about. I thought I'd tone back a little.
But as a Christian, we can be competitive. And we have to have the right mindset. We have to approach it in the right way. Absolutely. But as we open up our Bibles and we read and we see what it tells us, as we go to Ephesians chapter 6, it's talking about putting on armor of God. And the only reason we would need armor is because there is a spiritual warfare. I was trying to figure out how to exactly title this point here. Is it competitive, as war or battle? What you want to title it to the point of what gives you the interest? But we need to understand that there is some things in here that we're going to have to be willing to stand for, that we are ready to fight for, that we are prepared for. Of course, that goes back to our last point of making sure we study and open up our Bibles. But here in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces, evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day, having done all to stand firm, standing therefore having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword, the spirit, which is the word of God. Again, if we put all these things on, why? Because as we go into the world, we have to be ready. Because every single thing that we read about the armor of God, points to the Bible, points to us knowing how to use it, rightly dividing it, correctly applying it, knowing the context of the Scriptures. Because we want to be on the right side. Because we want to be able to go out and bring people in. We want to be able to defend the truth. You want to get competitive? Not to stand here and sit and say, I'm in the right church, and bragging about it to that point, but ready to actually go forward and defend the Word of God. Zealous because you know the truth and you want to help others and you want to make sure that false teaching is proven wrong. We should want to prove false teaching wrong. Because it's leading many down the wrong path. Too often I think we want to just let it slide by and just say, well, I'm not caught up in it. I don't have to worry about it. There's no way that I would ever go down that way, so I don't have to worry about it. Guys, others are, and we have to worry about them. We have to be ready to help, to defend the faith. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning in the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It said the word is a two-edged sword. Again, it's used for spiritual warfare, spiritual battle, choosing a side, lining up with our God. Jesus says, either you're with me or you're against me. Either you gather or you scatter abroad. You enjoy sports and being active in competitions and being competitive. Again, if you enjoy debate, we can do these things with the Word of God. We can do it as a Christian. Prove and go out and teach, ready to study with others, ready to use the Word as it's intended to do, to go out and spread it to others. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And in verse 24, it says, do you not know that the race, in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do not receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Again, Jesus, as we study more here, again, he brings out that competitiveness. He says, we're running a race. And when we run a race, when you consider racing, only one gets that first place prize. Only one does. Now, the last few races, I've had no hope of getting that first place prize. But they also do age groups in races, 5Ks and 10Ks, and halves and stuff. They do age groups and they divide that up, male and females. I do have a competitive enough streak that I want to do good in my age group. But I want to place up higher. And it feels good when you do. We want that crown of righteousness. We want that prize that God has set for those who are willing to endure to the end, to continue to fight the good fight all the way to the end. You have to be willing to follow by the rules, and you have to be willing to run to the end. You have to be willing to make sure that you are on the right path. It means you have to practice. You have to study. You have to prepare yourself for the temptations that Satan is going to come at you with. We like to be productive. We like to see the fruit of our labor. I like to see when we've done something, it comes out well. This is my first year growing a garden. It was exciting. When you first plant something and it doesn't work out, it's not exciting. Plant too soon, no one to blame. It's God. No. I can also blame him because I did grow plants. It may not work the first time we planted everything, but the second time we did, everything grew real well. Grew more than I was expecting to have or to deal with, being my first time getting into it. It's fun. It's great to see it. And when you have children in, you see that they grow and they do good things. You get excited to see that they did the right thing, that they're learning. You see how they continue to go and get better and better. We see that as Christians also. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 6. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 6. As it reads here, it says, It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Again, as it brings out, as they work hard, they labor, they plant, they water, they make sure it grows. It says they ought to be the first ones to get from their own work. It's good when we have that. In Matthew chapter 13, 1 through 9, and then the explanation picking up in verse 18 as we look at the parable of the sower, we're supposed to be out there planting the Word of God and spreading it. And I know, I believe more brethren get discouraged as we go and try to do this. Because we go out, we'll make some flyers, or we'll make some door hangers, and we'll go out, we'll door knock, we'll leave them on the thing. And we may not get anyone this season. We may not get anyone for this gospel meeting. We may not get anyone for the next couple gospel meetings. But then we finally get one person that might show up, or they might call, or they might actually talk to you when you're at their door, and they won't be rude, and they'll listen to what you have to say. When you get that one, how exciting it is, how great it is, how much hope that you have, and then you just sit there and you pray about it because, God, I didn't get to talk to anyone else, but that one person seemed interested. Please. Again, there's things to be excited about. There's things that we can use to help continue to motivate us, to push us, to drive us as Christians. Because as we look at that parable, there's going to be many that do not accept it at all. There will be some who show some interest, but then it'll just wither away. And some who really want to, but then their cares of the world choke it out. And then there's those who are going to hold on. They're going to remember. And as they get watered, they're going to grow. And as they get some more sunlight, it's going to grow more. Everybody's got to start with the seed. Things to be excited about as a Christian. So we gain a family.
We gain a family in Christ, in our God. If you have a good family, then you know how much it means to have a family. If you didn't have a good family, then you understand the desire for one. Having someone who's there for you, someone to listen to, someone that's always going to provide. That's our God. We turn to Romans chapter 8. This is what we can gain. Romans chapter 8, in verse 14, Romans 8, and reading there in verse 14, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ." If we are His children, then we gain so much. We are heirs with Christ. We receive the inheritance that God has promised to His children. We're able to call our God our Father. It says we don't receive a spirit of fear. Why? Because God's there for us. If we have any struggles, we have any worries, we go to God in prayer and lean on Him and let Him take care of you. Gain a family. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, not just our Father up above, but also our brothers and sisters in Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity." We gain a family. And that extends beyond just this local congregation. The local congregation is the one that you truly rely on, that you're there for all the time. Hopefully we have that trust for each other. That is, we can go to James chapter 5 and we read there where we're to confess our trespasses to one another. And we have that trust. We have that love for each other. If a brother is sick, that he calls on the elders to pray over him, pray for him. We gain each other. But also, every time, you know, you go traveling, if you're able to go visit other congregations, it's so exciting when meeting new brethren. I can't say every single time I visit, but almost every time I visit another congregation, I end up making connections. They're like, "Oh, so you know so-and-so from here and there." Somehow they all know each other. Why? Because we're a family. And so much easier to stay in contact with brother and sister in Christ all over this world with the things we had, the technology we have today. You'll get invites from people that are overseas, and you can see the update of the work over there and seeing that baptisms are taking place and that they're doing their best to spread the word and not allowing fear to overcome them. As we've been doing, when we hear about news of those who are sick and weak in health that need prayers of brethren, that we're able to pray for them because we find out they need. I've been driving through, have plans, know where I'm going, and I already have set up probably hotels, but stopped in a congregation and have brethren say, "Ask, make sure. Well, you got a place to stay? Are you sure you need some food?" People that just, I don't know. Besides that they're Christians, they're children of God. They just ask to make sure that you're taken care of, that you have what you need as you're on your travels. We gain a good family in God. Not to say that there won't ever be struggles. Anyone who has family, has siblings, has parents, knows that you have conflicts from time to time. We gain a family. Which we have hope of heaven. Again, we go back to becoming children of God, as we read in Romans, and we have that heir in Christ, that we're joint heirs in Christ. Which means we have heaven to look forward to. To be excited about, to be racing for, to be preparing for. Turn along with me in John chapter 14 and verse 1. John 14 and in verse 1 it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms.
If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Again, we set plans on going places, right? Some people have people come in for Thanksgiving. Maybe you went somewhere for Thanksgiving. People have plans for Christmas. When it comes to summertime, you start to set plans for vacation. People like to go to Florida. People like to go see mountains. People like, you set plans. You have a place you like to go. And so you start saving up money to be able to go. You set reservations to places you want to stop and stay. And as the day gets closer and closer, you get more anxious and more anxious, ready to go. Guys, that should be it. Again, we just, you know, the song before the lesson this morning, it just made me think of that. You know, we're waiting for that day. We're waiting for that day in which the Lord is going to come. It won't be very long until He shall return. So, till we meet Him in the air, until we can spend eternity with Him. You want to set plans, you want to make goals, you want to start saving for something. Plan to get to heaven. Start thinking about what it's going to be like. Again, I know we can look through Revelation chapter 21 and just imagine what all about that is going to be true and what is literal in that chapter. If any of it is, just any of it. The no pain, no tears, no mourning, no crying. No more temptation. The street of gold, the gates, the precious stones. No need of sun or moon. No need of a temple or church building. Why? Because God and our Savior will be there to worship face to face. Start doing everything you have to be able to get there. Let me tell you, again, you know, having kids, you're able to just see it. Of course, there's plenty of things that I would love to do. I can sit here and start listing off. Of course, I'll stick with what I've been talking about the last. I'll be talking about till January, till bow season's over with hunting. Right? I would love to have an actual hunting trip. I enjoy going out to Nebraska with my dad, some church members, and going out and staying with church members out there. That's a good hunting trip. But a hunting trip where I actually got to go kill maybe a bear or an elk or a moose, big thing. And I had to tell Casey we got to get a bigger house because their antlers are huge. We did say they fit at Congo Cafe if I ever get one. I could see how, again, I'd have to sit here and start saving for a few years probably to ever be able to go and do that. It could be done if I really worked at it, wanted to. Guys, this getting to heaven takes preparation. Preparing, planning, working at it, being kind and loving and worshiping God. If you can't stand coming to worship, then how are you going to stand worshiping God every single day? Face to face. If you like the ways of the world, you like the sin that's going on, it's not going to be there in heaven. You like and enjoy, you can't put behind you sexual morality, you can't put behind you lying, you can't put behind you swearing and cussing and dirty, filthy talking. It's not going to be in heaven. We have to learn to get rid of that in our life today so that we can have an eternal life without it in heaven. We have to enjoy love and peace and mercy and kindness, worship, singing, and one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many things in which we should be excited about as a Christian. We can make a longer list and talk about other things. Go ahead and extend the invitation at this point. I hope that I've helped you this morning to know that there's things that we should be looking forward to as a Christian, that we should be excited about when we're able to come together with our family in Christ here at Westside. But we should look forward to speaking to our Father, who's always there listening to us, always ready to lend His ear
He's always going to make sure that you have what you need. Matthew 6 and verse 33. Excited to go and stand for what is right, to be on the Lord's side, to be in His army, to go forth and teach the truth. Excited to try to bring others in, to plant the seed. If you're here and you have that excitement, you have that desire to go forth and work, God's ready to accept you in His service. If you're looking for a family, God's ready to accept you as a child. So we extend that invitation to any who need to be baptized, or to any who have to, who need to come to their father, to their brethren and sisters in Christ to ask for help. We encourage that you let it be known as we stand and sing.